It seems that every February a full spring deceives us into thinking winter is over. But as sure as night follows day, March brings us an Arctic blast and even snow on occasions. However, despite the season's vagary, it is such a special time, for who cannot find joy in its arrival, however hesitant its faltering start? I felt my first twinge of spring last week, and it was delivered by an unlikely courier. It wasn't brought on by the drooping white heads of snowdrops, or the yolk-yellow winter aconites that bloom alongside. It wasn't even an early daffodil, or the repetitive bicycle pump squeak of the great tit. For my new and now favourite herald of spring is the common toad. I discovered a rather grumpy-looking individual emerging from the leaf litter at the bottom of the garden. Presumably, having just woken from hibernation and en route to my garden pond. Its progression across the lawn can only be described as lumpy. After what appeared an exhausting 3 or 4 yards of a journey, it flopped back on its haunches with a defiant Churchillian look upon its face and held its chin proudly in the air. It was clearly relieved to have survived the winter and was no doubt delighted that spring had returned. Prompted by my toad encounter, I was reminded of an essay by George Orwell, better known for his dystopian novels and social commentary. Orwell was also an observant and knowledgeable amateur naturalist. All springs are special, but some are more special than others. Particularly so, the spring of 1947, when Orwell penned his Ode to Spring. It followed one of the coldest winters of the 20th century, and was, of course, shortly after the end of World War II. Being closer to the reality of his time, he discarded the sentimentality of Wordsworth or Shelley and chose instead the common toad as his harbinger of spring. Before the swallow, before the daffodil, and not much later than the snowdrop, the common toad salutes the coming of spring. I must agree with Orwell, the toad is to be admired, and despite the blemished skin of warts, the creature is strangely alluring, their gleaming copper eyes sit in contrast to a blunt, insolent expression. They live for years, even decades, but when spring calls them, often on a damp, dark night, they will cross over roads, railways and housing estates to get to their ancestral ponds. Some toad migration routes could be centuries old, formed long before the modern world encroached upon them. Fortunately, there are teams of volunteers, armed with buckets, torches, and high-visibility vests, to help toads traverse the busy roads in spring. Toad pancakes are an upsetting sight for anyone. Orwell could have paid a spring homage to any of our amphibians, as the toad's cousins, frogs and newts, are equally early risers, and despite being cold-blooded, appear to cope exceptionally well with the fluctuations of early spring temperatures. The common frog is often the earliest to spawn and appears earlier each year. It is not uncommon now for frogs to spawn during a mild February, and reports of frogs spawning in ponds at Christmas are not uncommon. This early spawning is to avoid the attention of grass snakes, as they do tend to have a bit of more of a lie-in. This is a risky strategy, but frog spawn is quite hardy and can tolerate several days of frost. Spring is a fantastic time to see and hear amphibians, and there are several other native species, all of which can be found in Norfolk, and a few non-native species peppered about the UK too. Our county has the powermate newt, and is also the stronghold of the declining great crested newt, an animal that carries some undeserved notoriety amongst developers. We also have the rare and specialised natterjack toad, which is only found on heaths and coastal dunes, with Norfolk becoming a significant portion of the British population. The gem in the county's amphibious crown is the pool frog. Recently reintroduced after becoming extinct in Britain, a strong and growing colony can be found at the Norfolk Wildlife Trust's Thompson Common Reserve. The unique Pingo Ponds of Thompson Common were the last known site of this rare species, so it's fitting that they have returned and are thriving there once again.